Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC Studios, I'm Brian Lehrer. This is my Daily Politics Podcast. It's Monday, March 25th. Now, changing the polarized way people talk about the Middle East and reintroducing the word peace on both sides. We have two guests, one a Jewish Israeli, the other a Palestinian Israeli, from the group called Standing Together, which says they, quote, organize Jews and Arabs locally and nationally around campaigns for peace. In Israel, they organize around both Israel-Palestine issues and economic ones like the minimum wage and gentrification. And when leaders of Standing Together came to the United States for one speaking tour in the fall, largely on college campuses, they found what they called a different kind of war zone, marked, as one of the guests we're about to meet was quoted saying, by, quote, very theorized discussions about who is more righteous. So let's take it from there with them to talk about the situation over there and the situation over here. Joining us now, Rula Daoud and Alon Lee Green, national co-directors of Standing Together. Alon Lee is a Jewish citizen of Israel. Rula is a Palestinian citizen of Israel. Thank you for making this one of your stops. Welcome, both of you, to WNYC.
Thank you. Good morning.
Thank you for having us.
Alon Lee, would you start and tell people more about the group and its mission?
Yeah, sure. So Standing Together is a Jewish-Palestinian grassroots movement operating within Israel to bring together people from across communities to work against this war for peace, against the occupation, and for equality to all the people that live on this land. We understand that this war is bringing us nothing but more sorrow and misery. And of course, the Palestinian people in Gaza are paying an unbearable, unfathomable price. You know, on normal days, we talk about peace, we talk about social justice, we talk about equality. But right now, we are in the most urgent moment in our lifetime. And in this moment, we call for a ceasefire agreement to stop the killing and the destruction in Gaza and to bring back the hostages home.
Rula, would you like to add anything to that?
Yeah, I think one of the main, our work comes from facts. From the lives, from our lives, from living in a society that has been shattered for so many years, but yet again understands a fact that from the place we come, from the land we come, that both of us call it home, we have 7 million Jews and we have 7 million Palestinians, and none of us are going anywhere. And it is about time to understand what kind of solutions do we make? What kind of leadership do we want to have a life for both sides that give Jews and Palestinians freedom, equality, peace, liberty, and independence? And I think that is one of the main things we are trying to bring and working for since, not just since the 7th of October, but mainly after the 7th of October, because all of us back home understand that the status quo cannot be maintained anymore. And we need solutions that will give both people the ability not just to survive, but also to live and to prosper in the land where we should, all of us, be equal.
And we'll get into what some of those solutions might be. But just by way of a little more background, Rula, do I see correctly that you and the other Palestinian leaders in your group are Palestinian citizens of Israel, not residents of the West Bank or Gaza?
Yes,
and
that
does
is
that
true.
Does that matter to the framing of your group?
I think it does, because in Israel today, you have 21% of the population is Palestinian. And if we go back in 1948, people who were displaced, people who fled, and some people, Palestinians, stayed in their lands. And we are today 21% of the population of Israel, and we have Israeli citizenship. We do face
discrimination.
Yeah, thank you. We do have a vast discrimination against us, but we are part of the Israeli society, and we are also part of the Palestinian people. Some of them living in Gaza, some of them living in the West Bank, and of course, the Palestinian diaspora.
So only this idea that Rula was just talking about, that here everybody is, 7 million Jews, 7 million Palestinians, roughly, in the greater area, and it's in everybody's interest to work together to figure out how everybody lives together instead of this constant war. Mm-hmm. I'm paraphrasing. I want to ask how you try to pursue that mission in Israel, and then we'll get into your work in this country and your experiences here on college campuses and elsewhere, which seems so interesting in the U.S. context. So what are you doing in Israel, and how is it different than before October 7th?
So we organize. We try to understand how are we going to change this reality, and we understand that the majority of the people actually in Israel, both Palestinians and Jews, they have the interest to end this reality. They have the interest to live safely. They have the interest to live with equality. They have the interest to live without rockets flying above their heads or without running to shelters. And yes, they also have the interest not to send their children to Gaza to do the terrible things that we're doing in Gaza and to come back home traumatized. This is a self-interest of the Jews in Israel, and it's a self-interest of the Palestinians in Israel. So we try to organize around this interest while understanding that there's a small minority in our society, people with genocidal calls, open calls to eradicate the Palestinians, to destroy Gaza, and we need to isolate them. But for that, we need power. And this is the reason we organize. We gather Palestinians and Jews all across the country. We build leaderships. We train our activists. We add members to our movement. We have thousands of members all across the country and tens of thousands of activists. We approach people on social media and we build a different kind of story. A story that we can, that says that we can all benefit from changing this reality, that we can all be living in a place that is finally prospering and finally putting the efforts on peaceful life instead of moving from one war to the other, instead of militarily controlling millions of people that are not the citizens of Israel but are controlled by the Israeli army. And this is not only an act of solidarity, which we do, but it's also an act of self-interest.
So that's on the Israeli side. And on the other side, a New York Times article on your group said your group has called Hamas, quote, the enemy of the Palestinian people and a fertilizer for radical Jewish extremism. That's a quote, as well as calling for an end to the occupation by the Israelis. So, Rula, is that quote accurate? They don't say that's by you as an individual, but they were quoting somebody from Standing Together, unnamed. And tell us more. In a polarized environment with so much pain and anger and blame on each side and now so much mass death and other suffering in Gaza, mm-hmm. how do you express your message as a Palestinian mm-hmm. to Hamas?
Well, the 7th of October and that day, the massacre that happened and everything that followed 5 months until this day, all we have seen is destruction, death, people losing their homes on both sides, unfathomable deaths in Gaza, starvation, hostages are still in captivity by Hamas. And that kind of reality is one that talks and says to all of us that the leadership or the ones that are responsible for what happened cannot stay in power. And I think that goes to both sides, to Hamas, who has been still the leadership in Gaza, and also to our government, to the Israeli government that we have right now, that since 2019 had called for a nonstop wars between Israel and Gaza. And when we look at this situation and we understand that the leadership that we have, whether we agree with that leadership or not, and we do not the one on the Israeli side and, of course, not the one in Gaza, we understand that we need a change. We need a different leadership, and people must call out for a different leadership. Now, for us, as a grassroots movement that works inside of the Israeli society, before the 7th of October, people were out there demonstrating against the government. And I don't know if you know, but before the 7th of October, there was a survey in Gaza. And approximately 70% of the people, the Palestinians living in Gaza, said that they do not believe in Hamas. They don't take it as a leadership. They don't want Hamas to continue and be a leadership. So if that says anything to us, is that both people most of the people living on both sides don't have any more trust in their leadership. And today, and especially after the 7th of October, after the massacre, after the killing and the bombing continuously by the Israeli army on the people living in Gaza, we know that both sides are not going to bring us any different reality, and both of them are not on the side of peace, and they are not friends of peace. And it is about it is time for all of us to understand and demand a different leadership. Now, for us in back in Israel, it's a bit more easier to do that, because to ask people in Gaza right now who are starving, with 70% of the infrastructure not there any yet and no buildings, it is a bit more harder to ask people to have anything different than to try and survive mm-hmm. right now. But it's still, for us, the work is much harder and greater, because we need to demand and we need to work day after day to have a different leadership, to build a political will inside of our society to bring different solutions, and solutions that do benefit both of us on both sides.
Let me just reset here for our listeners who are just joining us and wondering, who are these people talking about peace? My guests are Alonly Gree, a Jewish Israeli, and Rula Daoud, who is just speaking, a Palestinian Israeli from the group called Standing Together, which says they organize Jews and Arabs locally and nationally around campaigns for peace. In a minute, we'll get into what they've been hearing on college campuses in this country. But Alonly, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that we understand that the two sides, Hamas and the Israeli extremist government, they feed each other, right? We understand that Israel has been only dealing with Hamas for a decade and a half, continuously ignoring the Palestinian Authority and weakening the Palestinian Authority and the moderates on the Palestinian side, strengthening Hamas again and again and again. And I guess they need each other. And we understand that the Messianics in our side, the Messianic extremists that lead the Israeli government, they want this eternal mm-hmm. war, and they're really working to preserve it.
And listeners, hold your calls for a minute. I want to get through a little more of their material, because so many of you have never heard of them before, and then we'll take your questions for them. As for the United States, Alonly, I see that you and another of your co-leaders toured the U.S. in November and got written up in both the Washington Post and the New York Times, among elsewhere. The Washington Post headline was, Israeli peace activists tour U.S. campuses and find a, quote, new war zone. And the Post says you were jarred and put off by what you saw as a country, this country, obsessed with litmus tests. And that quote I cited in the intro, you said, we have a very theorized discussion about who is more righteous.
Oh, yeah.
So, yes. So you're saying the Washington Post basically got that right? That's how you found American college campuses?
Yeah, most definitely. And believe me, it's not just the colleges. It's everywhere here. We see a polarized discussion that has ceased to be about, the lives of people on the ground. It seems as if people care more about how they are portrayed or, to signal who they are and what they are than to actually ask the question, how do we change this reality? How do we stop this war? How do we achieve a ceasefire? And it seems that if people would just ask this question, they would understand that maybe we should build coalitions. Mm-hmm. Maybe those coalitions should be wide. They should, be of people that are coming from different ideological backgrounds. And we don't need to have tests of who's in the club, who's outside of the club. We don't need to have this checkbox of who's taking the right, words and use the right terms. And it seems so tiring and just disappointing to see how people here care more about what words do you use than how are you actually, trying or doing what you're doing to change this reality. And I think Standing Together comes here with the message that it's nice and maybe it feels good to condemn reality, but it's much more important to change reality.
Yeah. And so what do you do, Rula, at your American campus events?
Well, most of our events is to talk, first of all, to talk about our reality. How is it, what is really happening back home, the place we come from? Where are we now considering the Israeli society, what we can do, what's been happening inside of our politics, and kind of to show people, and mainly, I think, to educate people on our realities, because in many of these events, we see and we also hear that most people don't really understand where we are coming from. And just to give you a simple example, most people don't know that 21% of the citizens of Israel are Palestinians. And when we say that, it opens up a different discussion. It brings also different questions. Mainly what we are trying to do here is to give that background of what is happening back home and what do we see as people who live in Israel, Palestine, what kind of solutions we can bring and how do we really get to these solutions, but also to ask people to take action, to put pressure on the government, on your government in here, in a way that the government understands. The first thing is that you cannot continue to give a blank check to Israel. And we have woken up to different news today. And the second thing is to tell people that there is a big difference between the leadership we have on both sides and the people living in that land. The people living in Israel are not the Israeli government. And the people living in Gaza are not the leadership of Hamas. And I think that is a very huge distinction that people must do in order to understand how do we fight on from this point. And the real fight is about the lives of the people in Israel, Palestine, not against the people, because we are not our government.
Derek in Princeton, you're on WNYC. Hello, Derek.
Oh, hi. I was wondering if there was a group of peaceful or peaceful-minded Palestinians who are working to disarm Hamas, given that there are probably Palestinians who don't want Hamas around.
When you say working to disarm, what do you mean? Through protest?
Working with the IDF, for example.
The same IDF that is oppressing them and not allowing any Palestinian in the West Bank to actually demonstrate because it's not legal for Palestinians to demonstrate? You mean this IDF?
Oh, I don't mean demonstrate. I mean there's still a war going on against Hamas, and is the war being aided by Palestinians who want peace?
The Palestinians are being killed by the IDF. I don't understand which IDF do you want the Palestinians to cooperate with.
Derek, thank you for your call. Before you go, and we're almost out of time, and at the very end, I'll invite you to say how listeners who want to participate with your group's coalition building work between Israeli Jews and Palestinians can get involved with you. I want to get your reaction to some breaking news. We started the show this morning with another guest talking about the two recent failed UN ceasefire resolutions, mm-hmm. the one from Algeria and the one last week from the United States. Well, now, just in the last few minutes, reading from NBC News here, the UN Security Council approved a new resolution today demanding an immediate humanitarian ceasefire in Gaza during the Muslim holy month of Ramadan, which ends April 9th. And the vote in the Security Council was 14-0, with the United States abstaining. So the United States let this ceasefire resolution go through, which it did not with the previous ceasefire resolution that the U.S. did not propose. Rula, my question is, does it matter what the UN Security Council does or only what the negotiating parties, Israel and Hamas, do? Does this actually bring anybody closer to a ceasefire?
I think having a ceasefire is something we have been calling on for months now. And a ceasefire that will give, ability for both sides, also the hostages to come back home, but also to stop the killing and the starvation and the destruction in Gaza. And that is a very welcomed decision done today. But I think also when we look at this decision, we need to understand what will happen also after the ceasefire. It's not enough. We want a ceasefire, but it's not enough to just have a ceasefire. We need to understand what kind of steps will be taken after this point to give both sides, you know, we do not want just a temporary ceasefire. We don't want just, you know, the destruction to stop for 1 month or 1 week or 2 months. We need temporary solutions. That is what we need, and that is what we demand also from both sides. And I think that is the one thing that should be now discussed, because our lives and our futures are intertwined. There is no way any one of us is going, you know, anywhere or anything to change if the reality and the politics and the politicians we have understand that we need permanent solutions that will give all of us the ability to live equally and in prosperity.
And by the way, a little more on this breaking news. The AP says Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu immediately canceled a planned visit to Washington by a high-level delegation to protest the decision. I guess that means to protest the U.S.'s decision to let this ceasefire resolution go through. So we'll have more on that in the top of the hour newscast, but more distance between Netanyahu and Biden, as Biden did let this ceasefire resolution go through at the U.N. today. Alonly, just tell everybody, if they're interested in getting involved with your group of Israeli Jews and Palestinians working together for peace, how can they do so?
Yeah, if you support our vision of Israeli-Palestinian peace, if you support our demand to a ceasefire agreement to stop the killing and destruction in Gaza and to bring back the hostages, and if you support our work on the ground to bring Palestinians and Jews together, you should search in Google Standing Together Israel, Standing Together Jews and Palestinians, and you will come to our website in English. You can become a friend of Standing Together, which means a small monthly donation that can really go a long way in terms of helping us build more power in the Israeli society to send more convoys of food and aid to Gaza, as we are trying to do, but the army is stopping us, to build the majority within our society to change to change the direction from the occupation and war, and to see peace and, you know, prosperity for both people. Yeah. I will just say that the decision of the U.S. not to veto the decision in the Security Council is dramatic. We support it. We met last week in the White House with the Security Council here, and we called to condition the aid to Israel now and to stop giving a diplomatic umbrella to Israel to do whatever they want.
Rula Daoud and Alon Lee Green are national co-directors of Standing Together, which says they organize Jews and Arabs locally and nationally around campaigns for peace. Thank you so much for sharing your vision with us.
Thank you for having us.
Brian Lehrer, a Daily Politics podcast, is an excerpt from my live daily radio show, The Brian Lehrer Show, on WNYC Radio, 10 a.m. to noon Eastern Time, if you want to listen live at WNYC.org. Thanks for listening today. Talk to you next time.